Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Deeper Truth. I'm Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender, and I loved what that was saying. While claiming to be wise, they became fools instead. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the likeness of an image of mortal man, or of birds, or of four-legged animals, or of snakes. They just going the wrong direction. And we have the right direction that we're going to be talking about tonight or today. I got John, the Virginian. How you doing there, John?
Doing good. And we got a lot of two-legged snakes walking around, too.
Yeah, that's my point. That's my point. And we got Terry from the great state of Texas. How you doing there, Terry?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Well, I tell you, it is going very well today. I'm excited about what we're looking forward to doing. This particular coming weekend, the 13th and 14th, I'm going to be in near Poplar Bluff, Missouri, at a conference with Greg and Donna Corey and a whole host of folks. And it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of good things going on there. So I'm going to be doing this. On the 15th, we got this novena. And, John, I'm going to want you to kind of step up on this a little bit, kind of tell us about this novena that we're getting ready to do. Before we do that, John, would you kind of give us just a little background on the Assumption? What is the Assumption? In case we have someone listening in maybe for the first time, and they may say, what is the Assumption?
Yeah. Well,
so let's give a little background.
I was recently in a argument, debate, whatever you want to call it, with this. I love it when these people and you guys will get a chuckle of this. He's one of these ones that I used to be a Catholic, and I know everything there is to know about Catholic doctrine. I've been a Catholic all my life. I'm 56 years old, and I'll be the first one to tell you I am just scratching the surface. I'm just scratching the surface of what there is to know. So anyone that tells you that they know all there is to know, usually that person doesn't even know the basics. And this person couldn't tell me the difference between the Ascension and the Assumption. Well, there's a big difference.
Wow.
See, Jesus ascended to heaven under his own power. We don't believe Mary was taken to heaven under her own power. Mary was assumed into heaven, which means that at the moment that she went to sleep, so to speak, they call it the dormition, she was taken body and soul into heaven at the end of her earthly life, and it's a doctrine of the church, and it's actually shown in scripture. And this is when we've talked about this concept, Donald, where our Protestant and brothers and sisters, they have the light of intellect, but they don't have the light of faith. So when they read the scriptures, they read the words, they see the words, they understand the words, but they don't understand the meaning. They don't understand the deeper grace underneath that. And we see this very, very clearly in Revelation chapter 11 and chapter 12. They read it. They read it. John looked up in heaven and saw the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, that's nice. A woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet. Oh, that's nice. They'll probably mumble something about Israel, and then they move on. They have no concept of what they've just read. And what this is telling us is the Ark of the Covenant, which held the Word of God in it, held the manna, the bread from heaven in it, held the staff of the shepherd and the priest in it. The Ark of the Covenant held the symbolic Jesus inside of it, and it's a typology. What John is telling us is the Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. Not the metal box, not the gold box, but the real Ark, what the gold box pointed to. And the real Ark of the Covenant is Our Lady. And John describes her as a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars upon her head. Well, Donald, if you have feet and you have a head, what does that indicate that you have?
A body.
Okay, so this right here, this scripture right here is telling us that Our Lady is in heaven, body and soul, and she has a crown of 12 stars on her head. She is reigning as Queen of Heaven. Now, our Protestant brothers and sisters hear this, and they're scandalized by it. How, you're putting her equal with Jesus and everything. No. They don't understand the Old Testament, and they don't understand the role of the Queen Mother. And they don't understand that if Jesus is the King of David, which Gabriel tells tells Mary in Luke chapter 1 that Jesus will be the fulfillment of the Davidic kingdom. But Mary's the queen mother. And it's only fitting that Jesus would take his own mother up into heaven. Just one last thing that I'll say here is for people to contemplate is Jesus is the only person in the history of the world that can choose his own mother. That's pretty impressive.
That's very impressive. And I'll even go, you go to Psalms 45, if you go from verses 1 through 9, you actually see who that is referring to. It's Jesus. And we can prove that because of the letter to the book of Hebrews refers to Psalms 45 primarily from verses 1 through 9. And so I think that's very important.
And I want to say a larger thing here. I want to say a larger thing here that I think is very, very important. This is the truth that unifies the Catholic Church. This is why the Catholic Church is unified and the other churches are not. Because we do not limit our faith. I had a person tell me one time, I don't believe anything unless I can see it and understand it in the Bible. Well, then you don't have any faith. Your faith is limited to your understanding. I don't want my faith to be limited to my understanding. I don't want my access to heaven to be limited to my own intellect. Because if it is, I know I'm in trouble. So I don't want that to be the case. But the beauty of our Catholic faith is we believe first and we see later. See, I remember even when I was very young, I believed in the Assumption. I believed in the Immaculate Conception. Now, I didn't really understand these doctrines to the point where I could explain them or articulate them to others. But the Church says it. That settles it. And the Church says you must believe this doctrine. It is a doctrine of our faith that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. Now, I came later in life to understand it, to be able to articulate it. But what a beautiful thing about our faith is that we don't have to grope in the dark, searching the scriptures, trying to figure it out on our own. And when we try to figure it out on our own, 40,000 people are going to come to 40,000 different conclusions. And that's not a pathway to truth. That's not a recipe for finding truth. And Jesus says that he must be worshipped in spirit and truth. So truth is what unifies us.
It is. And basically, Terry, where do we get the scriptures from? Who gave us the scriptures? Terry, you there? Maybe he muted himself.
Or he might have dropped off.
Okay.
Well, you're breaking up. I'm only catching like every other word.
Okay.
Really?
Are y'all there?
Oh, my.
Can you hear us now?
Can you hear me now?
I'm going to try to call back in.
Yeah, Terry, hang up and call back in. You might get a better connection.
Yeah, it might be the connection.
Okay.
Well,
yes. So, Donald, the scriptures came from the scripture fairy, okay? A unicorn a unicorn flew across the sky, and he handed the scriptures to the scripture fairy, and the scripture fairy brought them down and gave us the scriptures. That's where they came from.
Yeah. Well, I think some people would.
I think that's what some people believe that, right?
I think you're right about that. Terry, and from your understanding, where do the scriptures come from? Or can you hear me?
Well, yes, sir. So from my understanding, first you had Holy Tradition, then you had Holy Scripture, which was put together by our magisterial teachings. So they all three go together.
Amen.
Your understanding is dead on.
Your
understanding is
God is the author of it, but he used his apostles, he used his prophets, he used his people. You have several authors, especially in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and so the Bible is not the mother of the church. The church is the mother of the scripture.
I heard Timothy Gordon put it like this one day. He said like there's a guy and he witnesses a car wreck, right? But he's got to run to work. He's seen everything. So another guy comes along and he tells this guy, hey, this is what happened. And so that guy pulls out a pen and a paper and he writes down the eyewitness account of the guy who's seen the car wreck. And then the guy goes to work. The guy who's seen the car wreck is holy tradition. The guy who wrote it down, that's holy scripture. That's the way, you know, it's kind of way to bring it into layman's terms. Like tradition came first. Yeah.
Well, think about it. This way, I mean, what you're saying, Moses, he wrote the first five books. He wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. He was not there for any of that.
Carrie, do you happen to have your Bible with you?
Yeah, it's right around the corner here. I'm in my office looking at.
All right.
While I'm talking to y'all, I'm looking at that equipment before I buy it.
Okay. Why don't you open up? Just open up to Revelation chapter 1. This was an argument that we used in our last scripture debate, and it really breaks it down very, very clearly. So just read like the first few verses. Yeah, just like the first few verses of Revelation chapter 1, maybe the first five or six verses of Revelation chapter 1.
All right. Okay. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must happen soon. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, basically what I just said, right? Who gives witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ by reporting what he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud, and blessed are those who listen to the prophetic message and heed what is written in it, for the appointed time is near.
There you go. It's right there. What you just said is right there. And we use this argument in our debate against Alex Caro on scripture, because he argues that the testimony is the witness of our faith. No. He argues that the scriptures are the witness to our faith. No. You see right there, John is the witness. The scripture is a testimony. You go to when you go to a court hearing and you give a deposition, the deposition is your testimony, but you're the witness. And if there's a question on the testimony, they don't parse the words and interpret it any way that they want to and twist it to say this or twist it to say that. What do? They go back to the witness. But what did you mean here? Did you mean this or did you mean this? No, I meant the first one. They go back to the witness. And that's the problem that these people don't understand. The scriptures are documents. They're testimony. All right? And the witness, it is the witness that has the authority. It is the testimony that's authoritative. They try to make the testimony as the authority. Well, the problem with making the testimony as the authority is the testimony can't get up on the witness box and testify to itself. It has to be interpreted. So when you hear people say things like the scriptures are infallible, the scriptures cannot be infallible, because infallibility is something that is exercised. The scriptures are inerrant, but they're not infallible. Infallibility, like I said, is something that's exercised. Somebody exercises their office infallibly. So if It is a church that's infallible. It is the scriptures that are inerrant. It is a church that is witness. It is the scriptures that are testimony. And that church that is the witness has told us that the scriptures reveal the assumption. Now, people go in there and they read the testimony. They read the testimony and they say, oh, well, I don't see the assumption in there. Well, the witness who wrote the testimony is telling us it's in there. Because we don't have to believe that John, the writer of the book of Revelation, has to still be alive on earth. He's still alive through the church. The same Holy Spirit that inspired John to write the book of Revelation inspires the church to properly interpret it. And that church has told us infallibly, let me repeat that, that church has told us infallibly that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. And that means to not believe that, to reject that, Donald, is heresy.
Amen. And we see this when you go back to Psalms 45, going from verse 9, going to verse 9 all the way to 18. You go to verse 9 through 18, and you'll see what is embodied in verses 9 through 18. You've got the queen. You've got her intercessory prayer that they seek her favor, that her name would be praised forever. You see all of this in reference to this lady, to the queen. And you can't escape. You can't go around it. You can't just make things up on your own or try to. Well, what they do is they try to knock it all out.
We just did episode 1 of the Faith Blaster. One of the interesting things in that is we had a parable from Jesus, and the disciples said, why do you speak to them in parables? But because they see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. Because understanding has been given to you. See, you have to have faith to understand. You have to have faith to perceive. And that faith requires obedience. So there's all kinds of things that are through that. There's all these little treasures, these little, hidden treasures throughout the scriptures that they don't pick up on. Like a Song of Solomon, which says, who is she that comes forth as the dawn, terrible as an army arrayed in battle? Well, we know who that is. We know who the Song of Solomon is pointing forward to here. And she will come and she will whack the devil with that stick. Okay? So we know who that scripture is referring to. But they read that verse and they perceive the words. They read the words, they understand what the words mean, but they don't understand who it's referring to. And that's why it's just such a blessing to belong to the Catholic Church. And people on the outside think, oh, you Catholics, you think you're so much smarter than everybody else. You think you know everything more than everybody else. No, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. We're smart enough to not rely on our own intellect, our own ability. Because Jesus said to Peter, this was not when he told him that he was a rock, when Peter made his declaration that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus told him, this was not revealed to you through your own efforts, through flesh and blood. This was given to you by our Father in heaven. And faith is given to us by God, and it's given to us through the church. Now, all we have to do is obey. It's all we have to do. We don't have to figure it out all ourselves. I mean, Donald, could you imagine a faith that, okay, I'm going to – what basically God has done is given us a 1,000-piece puzzle and said, okay, you've got so much time to put this piece, this puzzle together in the right order, and if you don't, you're going to hell. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to be in that position, would you?
No, it was never constructed that way. On the contrary, it is good for us to learn and develop our faith. We need to pray and we need to read the scriptures and read the writings of the saints, mm-hmm. those things mm-hmm. which makes us approved to be good, fruitful witnesses. But it has to we have that Catholic tradition to stand on that right. Everything rests upon. And so
what
now
I'm
that we've got
saying
this,
is, What I'm basically saying is, Donald, is they have it backwards. You don't see so you can then believe. You believe so you can then see. That's the way that it works. The faith must come first.
Exactly. Definitely. And I think we've kind of got that, I think, so that anyone's listening. So they got the idea of the assumption and the foundation of it in Scripture and our holy tradition. Now we are going to, what we're going to be starting to do on the 15th, which I think is important. But before we get to that, I think what we've been promoting here at Deeper Truth for the past few weeks is joining the Rosary Fraternity, which Terry, we're inviting you to do as well. And John came up with a scripture yesterday, which if anyone's listening, is if you go to Deeper Truth blog, join the Rosary Confraternity now for a tidal wave of August blessings. And it's a great opportunity for you to, all you have to do is just kind of read it, and you can easily click on where you need to go. It's so easy to do that even I can do it. If I could do it, anybody could do it. John can attest to that. I'm still
right
in the Stone
Donald's
Age.
Donald's still logging in with his chisel and his stone tablet. You know, and when he needs to send me an email, he does about smoke signals. And I have to be honest with you, I live up in the mountains and everything. I see that smoke rising up over the hill. It's hard to discern that and say, what is Donald saying here? You know? And,
but this
anyway,
this is great. This is great.
It's beautiful how our faith opens up so many doors, Donald.
Oh, it does.
And it was reading The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort, in which I found two things. You read two things in there. One is the story of Our Lady showing up with that stick, that golden rod, whacking the devil with it. And the other thing is the Rosary Confraternity. Now, most of us had never heard of the Rosary Confraternity. It's over 500 years old. It was formed by St. Dominic and Blessed Alan de la Roque. And it's something that's approved by the church. It's approved by the church. And you gain all these indulgences and you participate in all of these prayers of all of the members of the Rosary Confraternity. And all you have to do is you make a pledge to say the Rosary at least. All you have to do is make a pledge to say a five-decade rosary at least once a week. Well, if you can't do that, you got no point calling yourself a Catholic. If you can't say five decades of the rosary a week, you turn in your Catholic membership card because you don't deserve to hold it. You know?
But John, you gave six good reasons why I think it is that we should consider joining the confraternity in your article. Do you have your article pulled up?
I don't. Go ahead.
Okay, number one, you can receive a plenary indulgence, which that's huge, under the usual conditions as soon as you submit your free online application. I mean, that is
so
huge.
Let's explain what we're talking about here. Plenary indulgence, full remission from all punishment due to sin, all temporal punishment due to sin, as soon as you hit the send button, the email. All right, now, that's assuming you meet the normal conditions. You have to go to, you know, receive Holy Communion, pray for the Holy Father, be in a state of grace, go to confession. Wow. As soon as you send in the application, boom, plenary indulgence. Go ahead.
Oh, I think that is so awesome. And you can, it's free online, by the way. It is free online, so you don't. There's no charge for it. Number two, you receive a second one on the date. You receive a second one, another plenary indulgence, on the date your membership becomes official. Which, by the way, John, I did get a response back from them, and they're looking into it to find out about that certificate that they were supposed to send me. So they're looking into that. Number three, you can receive a third one on the Feast of Our Lady's Assumption, which is coming up August the 15th, and why what we're doing this morning, why we're doing this. Number four, you can receive additional plenary indulgences on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, which is October the 7th, the Immaculate Conception, which is December the 8th, Christmas Day, which is December 25th, the Purification, which is February 2nd. The Purification is when Jesus, when Mary and Joseph took Jesus, and it's part of the Rosary, in fact.
And you know what? And here's the interesting thing is, it was for years, it was considered the traditional end of Christmas. And some, I guess, secularists decided to, you know, kind of change that around and turn it into Groundhog Day. I don't know how they made that leap, but.
Wow, Groundhog Day. Well, then also the Assumption, which is March 25th, and Easter Sunday. And Easter, of course, is a movable. It's not going to be the same every year. Like Christmas is always going to be December 25th. Easter is a movable feast.
But think about this. Let's just look at the last two. That's how wonderful our church is, Donald. You can receive a plenary indulgence on Easter Sunday, and then 1 week later receive the Divine Mercy indulgence. A week later. So when I hear people, and getting a little hint of our upcoming episode, I don't want to tip our hat too much. When I hear people say, oh, there's no way I can make it to heaven. Oh, that's make it to heaven is impossible. I'll be happy just to make it to purgatory. Why? Why? Why would you aim for purgatory? You just illustrate six plenary indulgences that you can receive within, what, the next year? Go back and count them again. I'm sorry.
Probably actually more than that, because especially, you know, on Wednesdays and during until the end of the year, December the 8th.
Right. We haven't even gotten into the year of St. Joseph. Just based on the confraternity of the Rosary between now and this time next year. How many plenary indulgences can you get just by the confraternity of the Holy Rosary? Let's see. You get one when you enroll.
One,
that's one,
two.
Right? Two when you receive your application. A third one on the Assumption. A fourth one on the Feast of the Holy Rosary. Number five on the Immaculate Conception. Number six on Christmas Day. Number seven on the Purification. Number eight on the Annunciation. Number nine on Easter Sunday. Wow.
That's
nine
pretty good.
Plenary indulgences between now and Easter, the spring of next year, Easter, nine plenary indulgences. Like you said, you haven't even added in Divine Mercy. That's 10. Okay. And then all of the plenary indulgences you can get under the year of St. Joseph.
St. Joseph.
Which is the 19th of every month, okay? So that's what? Between now and December, that's another...
A bunch.
Another five?
A bunch.
Another five? So now you got...
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask a question? All right, so while we was talking, I just enrolled. So as a Catholic, I say the rosary every day anyway.
Anyway.
So,
My
prayer habit doesn't even have to change. I just enrolled, and now I get a plenary indulgence for doing what I'm supposed to do anyway, right?
Not only that, but your prayers, now your rosary isn't just Terry's rosary. It's Terry's rosary attached to the rosaries of thousands of members of the confraternity worldwide. And you just find rolling as long as you meet all the normal conditions, you just receive the plenary indulgence just by enrolling. You'll get another email back that will say when your official date of enrollment will be, and then on that date, you get another plenary indulgence. And in my case, do you remember what date my official enrollment was, Donald?
I remember when you did it. I don't know exactly the actual day. I know that was
the day on the certificate that it said my official enrollment was.
Yeah. I'm not having to wait for that. Yeah, July the 4th.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's pretty neat.
Also,
I'll be able to remember that every year.
And, Terry, we would also kind of like for you to join the Rosary Patrol, too, because that's kind of something that we have. We founded that, and it's part of, I mean, we're praying the Rosary, so that's good.
Oh, he's already participated in the Rosary Patrol.
Yep.
Yeah,
I was
on the field tonight.
Yep,
so
that's right.
We were talking about, Terry, because this is going to be kind of a lead into the upcoming Faith Blaster that we're going to be doing. But we just, right off the top of our head, between the Confraternity of the Rosary, between the Year of St. Joseph, between the Divine Mercy, we just off the top of our head determined that between this now and this time next year, you should be able to receive a minimum of 15 plenary indulgences. So do you have any sympathies for people who say, oh, I can't possibly make it to heaven. If I make it to purgatory, I'll be happy. Do you have any sympathy for those people? I don't. You shouldn't be aiming for purgatory.
Well, John, I'm going to tell you the truth. Up until a few days ago when I heard you saying this, I was one of those people, so I'm not going to stick my foot too far in my mouth.
Well, you're going to have to step out of that, because guess what, Terry? You're going to heaven, because I don't want to – me and Donald don't want to be up there alone.
And my argument was back then, like, I understand what you're saying now, but my argument was, I mean, if you made it to purgatory, you did make it to heaven. You know, everybody in purgatory will eventually be in heaven.
It's a safety net.
But
it's
now
a safety
that I
net.
See,
you can see it.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, as a safety net, Terry, you know what we're finding out now, the more we're discovering this about purgatory? I mean, they're saying that it is worse than what the martyrs suffered. I mean,
yeah,
it is a safety net. I'll grant that. But I tell you what, it's not something you want.
It's what I said yesterday, okay? The only argument that you can make in favor of going to purgatory is that it's better than hell. Well, that's not a high bar to clear, okay? Being better than hell is not a high – it doesn't take much to be better than hell, okay?
But
well, that's the first part of it. The second part of it is this. Why would you want to only give the Lord a C-level effort? Why would you want to do that? Would you want to say to our Lord, hey, Lord, you know what? I just want to do the minimum. What's it going to take to keep me out of hell? Where can I purchase my fire insurance? I just want
right.
to say
well,
you
got John, that was not my thinking process. I was, you know, striving to live a holy life and everything. But I realized that my past sins were so grievous that, you know, I was like, well, you know, I figured my past sins were so grievous that I was probably going to have to go there for a little bit, you know.
We're all there as far as our past sins. But our past sins are a drop in the ocean compared to the mercy of Jesus. His mercy is
so much. That's why. That's why I was telling you, Terry, that you've been twice pardoned, literally twice pardoned, because not only were you pardoned by God.
I heard a priest put it very, very distinctly, and I think it was based on a vision of one of the saints or something. I can't remember exactly. But he said, those who love the Lord, those who are on fire for the Lord and are sincerely trying to serve him with every bit of their being, those are the souls that are going to heaven. The souls that turn to the Lord only when they're in trouble or with a half-hearted effort, those are the souls that are going to purgatory. And the souls that don't think about God at all, those are the ones that are going to hell. Terry, I I got to be honest with you. In a little time that I've known you, there's nothing that I hear from you that makes it sound like you're half-hearted in any way. So,
no.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I don't think that.
Sounds to me like you are a man that's on fire for the Lord. And there's no reason for us to believe, no reason for us to believe we can't get to heaven. Because the Lord has just given us so many tools. So many
You definitely limit it. You definitely limit it because this is important. And August the 15th is the Assumption. It's the Holy Day of Obligation. It's the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is Sunday. So this year it is Sunday. So I guess it is a Holy Day of Obligation. It's already a Holy Day of Obligation because Sunday is the Holy Day of Obligation. But anyway, until the 23rd. So from the 15th to the 23rd, this novena is going to be offered for the intentions of all confraternity members and supporters. So if you still are not able to attend Mass, we ask you to participate fully in the novena by 1, making a spiritual communion each day during the novena. That is, if you can't make it to Mass. If you can make it to Mass, then you receive the Eucharist. And 2, by praying the rosary each day during the novena. Daily Mass is, this is an example. On EWTN, they show the divine or the daily Mass if you can't make it because if you work or what have you. We understand that, too, and that affects all of us. But if you're able to make Mass during the week, especially this week, man, it would be great if you could do it. So that would help out a lot. Also,
So when Terry offers up his prayers, or Aunt Betty or Uncle Joe or whatever, those prayers are being joined to the prayers and the masses of thousands of people. So there are thousands of masses going on around the world, thousands of spiritual communions and rosaries going around the world. And all of those are offering up prayers for Aunt Betty and Uncle Joe because Terry's prayers are joined to all of those prayers. That is massive to think about that. That is what a spectacular faith we have, that we have something like that at our disposal.
This is from the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Novena and newsletter that came to us from the confraternity. And the spiritual communion goes, "My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most blessed sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen." So if you can't make it to Mass, say that prayer. And then the novena prayer, "O Immaculate Virgin Mary, Mother of God and Mother of Man, Mother of Men, we believe with all the fervor of our faith in your triumphal assumption into heaven, body and soul, where you are acclaimed as Queen of all the choirs of angels and the countless multitude of saints. We unite with them in thanking and praising God, who has exalted you above all the heavenly host. In your mercy," and as when we are asking Our Lady's mercy, by the way, she's not a goddess or anything like that, but as Queen Mother, and plus she's the Mother of Jesus too. "In your mercy, dearest Mother, look down upon our miseries and our sorrows, upon our struggles and our weaknesses. Help us to remain pure in mind and body, to bear the crosses of life, and to live and die in close union with your divine Son. Intercede with him on our behalf and obtain the graces and favors we ask in this novena." And then you can also, this is another one, I love this. "Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother, To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. And then we would, at this point, this is where you would pray your daily rosary. And so that, you know, to, if you don't know these particular prayers, you know, you could read them. If you go to Deeper Truth blog, and in fact, I'll send it to you, Terry, so you'll have it.
DeeperTruthCatholics.com.
Yeah, DeeperTruthCatholics.com. And the article, The Catholic Defender, Novena, The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, 2021. And so that's just for anyone out there that's listening. The access is here. And then you would pray your rosary. And the intentions for this novena, which from coming from the confraternity. Now, of course, you could add all kinds of, like we do with the Rosary Patrol. But you can, you know, for all members of the Rosary Confraternity, for the sick and the dying, for the souls in purgatory, for the Holy Father, the Pope, for a family, our families, for return to the faith, the prodigals, for suitable work, and especially now in times when people are having a hard time getting by, for world peace, for priestly and religious vocations, which is important, for a happy death. If we are to die, you want to die in the grace. We want to be in the state of grace. To spread devotion of the rosary. And I tell you what, if you look at the 15 promises Our Lady gives us for praying the rosary and promoting this devotion, man, there's just, like, again, there's so many opportunities for us that nobody has to go to purgatory, really, unless you just
not,
totally.
Not only do we not have to go to, not only do we not have to go to purgatory, Donald, but, you know, I've got stubborn family members that don't want to convert, and you've got stubborn family members that don't want to convert, they don't have a chance. we're going to hit them with so many graces, they don't know what to do. we got legions. We got legions of angels coming up against them. They don't know what they're in for.
They don't have a chance.
Don't have a chance. We got all these masses worldwide that are going to be ganging up on them. There is no way they can stop the floodgates of graces that are going to be heading towards them.
That's so cool. And they got guardian angels. Oh, gosh, there's so much to this. Plus also for the worldwide success of the pro-life movement. You know, we are pro-life people.
That's a big intention there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So this is basically it. If you can go to Mass during the week, if you can make it during the day or, you know, during the week.
Step one.
I always try to go. Yeah, that's step one.
Step one.
But
step one is join the confraternity. You got to join the confraternity first. That's step one.
Well, he's already done it. He's already pushed
it. For our audience that's listening, step one is you got to join the confraternity.
And the Rosary Patrol, because that's both of those are powerful. Anytime you're praying the rosary and you're dedicating the rosary for whatever, your family, your own intentions. But, you know, when you're praying the rosary, we're praying for our enemies. We're praying for everybody. Tell me where in the Hail Mary you're not praying for the whole world, John. You're praying for everybody when you pray that prayer.
Right.
You can't get around it. I mean, you may have
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Holy
Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. That's the universal prayer right there.
It is. It's not saying.
And I just want to say, Donald, I've said before, and I want to say again, how happy I am to have Terry as part of our group.
Oh, amen.
It's been like a bolt of lightning. He's brought so much energy and passion, and I just absolutely. I'm so thrilled to have him with us. I don't know if he's still on the line or not.
I'm still on the line. I just ordered the recording package so I could help you with that Faith Blaster show.
That's awesome, man.
I will tell you this. I got a chance to talk to Terry's wife, and she's on fire too. I mean, I'm not. I mean, she's pretty solid too. So she's a convert, and so that's wonderful. And
yeah, see, that's wonderful when both of you are pulling in the same direction. When you got one spouse that's pulling one way and the other spouse is pulling the other way, boy, it makes for so much tension. And unfortunately, I went through that. I experienced that where, you know, you're trying to promote the faith and your wife's undermining it. It just causes so much problems. I'm so glad that his wife and him are pulling in the same direction, just like your wife and you are pulling in the same direction. It just makes it so much easier.
It do. And I mean,
we prayed
so
a beautiful rosary last night on the back porch. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Me and my wife right there side by side, two warriors for Christ, slaying the devil.
Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah, you gotta, that is great. You got to pick up that stick and whack him with it. That's one thing that Donald is, one thing that Donald has taught me. He is responsible more than anybody else for this sense that I got, because he's told me how many times he says, John, you got to take the fight to him. You got to take the fight to him. You got to stop letting him beat you down. You got to take the fight to him. Donald is responsible for instilling this attitude in me that get up in the morning, fix yourself a cup of coffee, and punch the devil square in the face. Right in the, just unload, just launch it right in his face. That's how you start your day off. And Donald has instilled that attitude in me. And I've got that attitude right now. Just get my rosary out.
Being
senseless with it.
You know, I spoke with another officer last night, and he was telling me what he observed. He's working himself to the Catholic Church, and one of the things that's working that about him is that he has actually seen. He went from atheism to where he actually has seen things where. He was with a person, I guess it was not too long ago. He said that they were on the bridge, you know, like walking across. And there was a spiritual manifestation where an unseen source picked this person up by the neck with nobody there. It was just something picked this lady up by the neck, and he saw the struggle. That is like, wow. I mean, the powers that we're fighting is real.
Did you ever, read the story of Mother Angelica? Carrie, you know who Mother Angelica was, right?
Yes, sir.
The founder of the EWTN. Did you ever hear her miraculous story?
Her cure.
No, I'm talking about where she was almost hit by a bus.
Yes.
I haven't heard that one.
So she was crossing, she was walking across the road, not paying attention. She was almost hit by a bus, and she felt two spirits pick her up and move her to the median. And the bus driver said something to the effect that he'd never seen anybody jump that high in all of his life, I can't remember whether the bus driver was a man or a woman, said they'd never seen anybody jump that high.
Those were good angels.
Yeah.
But the person that I was talking to last night, he was dealing with bad angels.
But we need to know that they both exist. We need to know, and we need to impress upon people that they both exist. I try to have this discussion with my daughter and my son-in-law some time back. I try to explain to them. I said, you need to stop limiting your understanding to what you can see and perceive with your eyes, because there's a whole world outside of what you can see and perceive. And then they looked at me like I had three heads, like I was out of my mind. But you know, a wise man once said, there's two kinds of people: those who have been humbled and those who are about to be.
Hey, brother, my brother-in-law Jeff Fisher. You know, he's devout Catholic, on fire for the Lord, and I several occasions, you know, we would be sitting back, and I tell him some of the stories from my past life. And, you know, one day he said, you know, when you get to heaven, before you enter that gate, your guardian angel's going to whoop your butt.
I kind of wonder sometimes what my guardian angel did to get this assignment. It's like, all right. It's like God said, okay, you need to do some growing here, okay? So I'm going to give you a real tough one.
Funny.
And I just imagine that every morning my guardian angel says, oh, no, he's awake again. Oh no.
That is funny. And thank God he has a sense of humor. Oh, I'm glad the Lord has a sense of humor. He has to have servants like you, John, and you, Terry. You know, he has to have a sense of humor. So.
All you got to do is look at the Bible to see that God has a sense of humor. He picked the biggest bunch of ragtag misfits to spit his word. Moses. He said Moses was the weakest man on earth, and from what I understand, he had a stuttering problem.
He did.
So you got a stutterer who's the weakest man on earth, and God shows up to him and says, okay, here's the deal, Moses. You're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, right?
I mean, look at Mary. Mary's a perfect example.
I'm going to tell you the most humorous thing that Jesus ever said, and a lot of people miss it because it's quoted all the time, but so many people miss the humor in it, you know, because, you know, they're asking him about, you know, taxes and this and that, and Jesus said, he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. And I think it's so funny because when you really, really think about it, everything belongs to God. Nothing belongs to Caesar. But he said it in such
That's
a
funny.
Way, you know, to where like he could appease both sides, you know. I think that is the most funniest thing Jesus ever said.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think there's another one when Jesus actually does pay his taxes, he tells Peter to go catch a fish and take the money out of the fish's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Take the money
that
out of
cool.
fish's mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
That story is absolutely hilarious. It really is. But to me, the funniest one or one of the funniest ones is. Just drop the net one more time, just off the other side of the boat. But, you know,
yeah.
Master, we've been fishing all night. Yeah, just try it one more time. And the thing comes back, and it's bursting at the seams. The net's tearing. They can't hold it together from all the weight of it. That must have been
yep.
Just imagine you were sitting on the beach watching that. You'd have been falling on the sand laughing.
That would be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey guys, we're right at the end. John, can you give us a real quick prayer, and then I'll end it with a song.
All right. In the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary,
Amen.
Full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Thank you, guys, because we're under a minute, but the song will go through the archive. But, Terry, you be safe. Get ready to go to work. I'm going to go ahead and get some downtime. Thank you, guys, for coming in this early with me and joining me this morning. Wonderful. Oh, this was wonderful. Great show. Promote the shows. God bless you guys.
Yep. God bless.
God bless.
sun is swallowed by darkness.